verses 9 through 10, and 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 12. Hear the word of God. From Proverbs, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. And from 2 Corinthians, the point is this. The one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, He scatters abroad, He gives to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seeds to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Ron. It's good to be with you this morning, this day that the Lord has made. I often begin with saying I'm Tom Farmer, a work-in-progress person and pastor, and some days I feel that more than others. But we're also a work-in-progress congregation, and we affirm that because of God's grace that we are beloved, we belong, and we can become the people God has called us to be through the grace of Jesus Christ. One of the work in progress, I get to serve with work in progress people. One of the work in progress people have a birthday today, Dave Wilson, and we have another staff member, Amy Richardson, has a birthday on Thursday. And so this is a staff birthday week. But I was thinking about something that Dave will often say as we were talking about faith and kind of core kind of identity issues, that he'll often say this. He'll say, I believe that God is with us and God is for us, and that nothing can take that away from us, that that's eternal. Think about that with me for a moment. God is with us and God is for us. Nothing can take that away from us. Now, that's to me, I believe at the core of our being, it's important what our identity is, what we root our identity in. If we root our identity in something eternal, that's going to impact the way we live our lives. If we believe that God really is with us and God really is for us, it's going to impact the way we live our lives. Conversely, if we believe at the core of our being that we're all alone in a random and cold universe. And I read that from one of the leading atheists, you know, that wants to, I guess, share his faith, you know, in atheism. But his statement was, we are all alone in a cold and random universe. Cold and random universe. I don't know if they're ever going to come up with a chicken soup for the atheist soul, but if they do, that's the kind of thing that you might see in it. But if that's the world, if we are all alone, friends, then it's all on me and it's all on you. And so if that's the kind of iffy world we live in, a lot of people live in that way, in a conditional, contingent kind of way, that my acceptance in the world, my being in the world, if I perform, if I get the right grade, or have the right job, or if I have the right stuff, or wear the right clothes, if I have the things that signify symbols of success in my life, if I have the right house, If I have the right spouse. You could go on and on. The ifs could go on and on and on. We could do it all day. But the reality is a lot of people spend a lot of time, energy, and money on trying to bolster their identity in an iffy world. And what if we succeed at some point? And we do attain some of these things. Well, I found in this kind of world, if you attain something, usually the finish line is pushed out a little bit. There's always another goal. There's always another finish line that, okay, I've gotten here. I need to go there. I need to go further out. You know, you see a millionaire, then sees billionaires. And then billionaires, then see Michael Bloomberg going, no, 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 no. You know, I mean, there's always someone that has more, that is doing better. And so even if we attain, the finish line keeps moving, the fulfillment keeps moving. And then there comes a time when in life when we're not going to be able to have the same job and the same status and the same performance or the same appearance. Looking back on high school yearbooks, I've noticed that appearances do change just a little bit, just a little bit. I noticed this about human nature is that we spend the first a couple decades of our life, wanting to be older. And so if you talk to an 8-year-old about how old they are, and they're 8 and maybe 4 or 5 months, they're going to say, what, 8 and a half. I've never met a person in their 50s that say, I'm 55 and a half. No, we spend the first couple decades of our life wanting to be a certain age, and then we spend the rest of our life seemingly wanting to be look like at least we were that age. Maybe we could have more wisdom, but we want to look like that. We want to have this appearance. And so what happens in a world that's all about appearances? What happens in a world that's all about the material? What happens in a world that's all about the fleeting? If we buy into that, if we live into that, the result, I mean, I don't think there's any mystery why diseases of despair, as the mental health professionals call them, are in an epidemic proportion. That in that kind of world, on the hamster wheel where you never can get ahead, if that's the world we live in, no wonder people are struggling with hope. No wonder people are struggling with trying to feel better in any way they can, and pain and medication and all kinds of things. All kinds of things. If that's all there is, if that's the material world, but thanks be to God, it's not just a material world. And thanks be to God that there is another identity that we can live into. And that identity is eternal. It's an identity that at the core of our being is a gift that we can receive. The Gospel of John says it this way, to all who received him, that is Jesus, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, the very children of God. I love how in 1 John chapter 3, it puts it this way, in one translation it says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us. I love that word. I love the way that's translated. Lavished on it. See what great love. Not we're talking a heart of immense love, of astonishing love, of infinite love. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God, and that's what we are. We are the very children of God. And that's what I believe. Marinate in that. Receive it. Soak in it. Let that seep into the depths of your soul, because that affects your, my life. The way we see the world, the way we see ourselves, it affects everything. Begin the day not with the news feed. It depresses me. Begin the day with the good news of who we are, our eternal identity. Because if we don't, we live in a world where we're trying to spend our way or buy our way or whatever it is, swipe our way to something that will make us appear or do or have something the status that we want. And we find that is just an empty downward spiral that doesn't fulfill, adds debt to our lives, and ultimately more stress and less abundance. So we've been talking about a different way of living our lives, living our lives into not that kind of identity, an iffy identity, but an identity as God's beloved children and leaving a legacy of love. I went to a funeral yesterday of a woman who that was a sanctuary full of people who affirmed that her legacy was love. Yes, disease had destroyed her body, but had not destroyed her love. Her love, that was God's love through her. It was a legacy of love, a legacy of love. I believe that's what all of us really want. That when it's all said and done, we want a legacy that is enduring, that is eternal, and that we live into forever. And that's a legacy of love, a legacy of love. And God calls us to live into that through a freedom that's not found in the things of this world. We feel like we're free to buy all these things with credit, but ultimately that leads to bondage. But there's real freedom in faith. Faith in God's abundance. Freedom and faith in God's economy. I want to talk a little bit about God's economy because it's counterintuitive in some ways, because we live in a world that's very material. And it's often so easy just to kind of live in material terms, in just doing the math. Okay, so I'm gonna do a little experiment here. I got this from a Presbyterian minister named John Ortberg, so I'm indebted to him by that for this. I'm not gonna send him any money, but I am indebted to him. But I have here. You'll note there are 10 $10 bills here. $10 bills. Okay. 10 Hamiltons. Did you see what I did? Did you see that? 10 Hamiltons, 10 $10 bills. And so the idea, if we're looking at God's economy, God calls us, as we have received from God, every blessing to give the first 10% back to God, the tithe. That's what the tithe means. And so if I were to tithe off of $100, how much would that be? Be one of these, one Hamiltons, or one tenth, okay? Okay, so I'm going to, okay, see that? There we go. So, one ten has gone into the basket, and that leaves me with how many? Okay, now, this is not your question, but how much, do I have more now or less? I'm not just doing the math, it's less. It's less, okay? If we live just by the math, if we're just doing the numbers, it's counterintuitive. It's like, well, why would I give? Because I would have less, and in this culture, I want more, right? So why would I do that? I have less. I've lost. I have less if I give, okay? But I want to share with you a different kind of perspective, a perspective from the Scripture that looks at it in the world in a deeper way than just the material. If we're just material, that's okay, that's right. But there's a deeper principle at work in the world today. There's a spiritual principle in the world today. And it's really rooted in the world that we live in. And that is, years and years and years ago, generations and generations and generations ago, human beings were called hunter-gatherers. Okay? We were called that because we hunted and we gathered, right? Okay? So we hunted and we gathered. And so people would go out and they would hunt and they would gather and they'd bring it back in. So they would hunt, animals and whatnot and bring them in and they would gather. What would they gather? They'd gather like berries, they'd gather seeds, they'd gather these things and they would come and then at night they would gather around a fire and what would they do? They would eat them, or they would consume them. They were the first consumers, okay? They would consume them. But at some point along the way, there was a brilliant woman, or maybe a man, but someone saw that when some seed was spilled along the way, that something came up, and there was more there. And so one day they just had this moment where she says, I want to gather everybody together, and I want to talk about this. What we need to do is gather some of our seed. Our seed. I've noticed that when we spill the seed, it grows. I'm going to gather some of the seed, and we're not going to eat it. What? We're not going to eat it. We're hungry. We need that seed. Hang with me here. Hear me out. We're going to take some of that seed, and we're going to plant it. Put it in the ground?
That's the craziest thing. That's the craziest thing I've ever thought, heard of. And plant it in the ground? No. That's idiocy. We'll starve. But you see where this is going. That led to one of the greatest revolutions in human history. This agrarian revolution where we learned to take the best seed, not consume it, not consume it, but plant it for the future. And that's what we do when we give. We live into a deeper principle. When we give, we are planting seed. We realize we're not just consumers, but we want a harvest of righteousness, as Ron shared from 2 Corinthians, a harvest of righteousness, a harvest of love, to be able to depend and trust in a God of great love who's lavished love upon us. Trusting in that God to provide for our needs and planting seed of love for a great harvest. A great harvest. Trusting that God will bring that harvest. That's what Proverbs talked about when bring your first and best, and God will bring you blessing. And that's, you know, sounds like the prosperity gospel, but it's the prosperity gospel, the focus is on blessing me, but the gospel is about blessing the world and us experiencing that blessing in return. It's about growing a heart that's more like God, because God's heart is a generous heart. God's heart is a giving heart. God's heart is a kind heart. And as we give, we live into that kind of reality, and God grows in us a generous, kind, loving heart. And the legacy of our lives, when all is said and done, is a legacy of love. It's a legacy of love. And it's a legacy of blessing, and it's a legacy of abundance. Now, you would expect me to say that. But I've noticed some research that really does speak to this from a guy named Christian Smith of Notre Dame. He was kind of testing the hypothesis of God's economy and wanted to see what is the impact of generosity or non-generosity in the lives of real people. So he did a survey of 2,000 people, and he wrote a book called The Paradox of Generosity. I've read some of the results. I'm going to read the rest of the book. But The Paradox of Generosity, because it is a paradox. The generosity, what generosity brings in a person's life. What he found is generosity, when a person is generous, that really does bring blessing into their life. It's like this open-handed way of living and giving is often more open to the blessings of God as well. There's blessings that a person receives, the blessings in their relationships, because they're more open in their relationship. The generous heart tends to be that way. And a person with a generous heart tends to be more generous with their time as well. It's not mine. No. There's an abundance that they believe God has brought into their lives and into the universe, and they want to share. But what they found, conversely, is that non-generous persons, rather than having more, actually pay a price for lack of generosity. Because non-generous persons, those that are holding on to their Hamiltons like this, tend to be more like that in their relationships and are harmful in their relationships. They're more isolated and alone. They have less meaning and fulfillment in their lives. And there's less joy. There's a less sense of abundance. That rather than having more, holding on really leads to less in so many ways. And so I'm on a journey. And I believe you're on a journey. We're on a journey together. And it's a journey of faith. It's a journey that is seeking real freedom. And the real freedom we find, not in the bondage of this world and the world's system of material things, but greater freedom in the abundant love of God, the abundant provision of God, and being able to live our lives in such a way that blesses others, shares God's love with all our neighbors. We experience the abundance of the generosity of God in our own lives. I invite us to take a step of faith this day. freedom through faith in God's heart, God's generosity, God's faithfulness, as we offer our gifts, as we offer our estimates of giving this day. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, in a world that's so about the material, it's so easy to lose sight of what is eternal. May we this day afresh be reminded how great a love you have lavished upon us, that we would be called the children of God. And may we live into that legacy of love, that because you have first loved us, we would love. And we would love in the way that we offer our prayers, our presence, our financial gifts, our service and our witness, in all of our ways, we would seek to grow in what it is to be your children, to live in your love, to love as you love, and to live into the abundant life that you want to share with everyone in this community, that we might share your love with all our neighbors. May that be so. May that be so as we plant seeds of faith and love this day. In Jesus' name.